Hello, this is Kendra Brodeen of WomenLawyersOnline.com, and today I am thrilled to bring you a conversation with Jacqueline Klosik. Jackie, as she goes by, is an attorney with Goodwin Proctor LLP in New York. Her practice focuses on advising clients on various issues related to data privacy and security and negotiating technology agreements. Jackie is a frequent writer and lecturer. Her most recent book is The Right to Know, Your Guide to Using and Defending Freedom of Information Law in the United States. Her prior books include The War on Privacy, The Legal Guide to E-Business, and Data Privacy in the Information Age. Her new book, Protecting Your Health Privacy, A Guide to Safeguarding Your Medical Information, is a book focused on privacy and data sector in healthcare, and it will be released in the fall of 2010. Jackie, along with James R. Silkenut and Jeffrey M. Aristi, is also an editor of the recently released third edition of the ABA Guide to International Business Negotiations, a comparison of cross-cultural issues and successful approaches. Jackie is a certified information privacy professional, and she is on the advisory board for the privacy advisor of the International Association of Privacy Professionals, and she is also the co-chair of the international working group of that organization. She is an active member of the American Bar Association, the International Bar Association, and the International Association of Young Lawyers. Jackie has been recognized for her professional expertise. In 2004, Jackie received NJ Biz's magazine's 40 Under 40 Award, which is given annually to the top 40 achievers in New Jersey with an established record of leadership who have taken on key decision-making roles at an earlier-than-usual stage in their lives. She was also the recipient of the Telford Taylor Fellowship in Public International Law. Jackie, I'm so delighted to have you on the call today.
Thank you so much, Kendra. It's great to be here with you. I appreciate you having me.
Oh, very much. My pleasure. Jackie, let's just launch right into the questions that we have as a basis for our call today, and I think that will bring us to a place where we can learn a little bit more about you and your background. I'm wondering if, in looking back at your life and in your professional work, you would say that you were always good at balancing and juggling the personal and the professional, or is it something that a point came in your life where you needed to make a change, where something happened where you said, I just need to do something differently? I'm wondering if you experienced that point or if you just always feel like you were pretty good at it.
Oh, I wish I could claim that I was always a natural at it, but I think I'm still a work in progress. I think it's a gradual process for me, at least. I've been in private practice now for over 10 years, and when you come out of law school, you're so gung-ho at achieving and getting involved in the work of the law firm, and it could become very intense so that you get absorbed in it. And I think it was a gradual process with mainly connecting with friends outside of the legal profession, where I started to see that, you know, the way I was living perhaps was not the best way for me, not the most balanced way. And then gradually I started to kind of carve out more personal time while still maintaining my professional obligations. But for me, it was a very gradual process where I had to keep working at it. And I still, keep seeking that balance every day.
Well, I completely agree. I wish we could all say that we were perfectly good at it all the time and there was that perfect balance or whatever that looks like. But it does feel like just about the time you think you've got it under control that life throws something at you or your practice throws something at you and you have to adjust a little bit.
That's right.
As that tight wire rock, I think. Jackie, in thinking about your work and your life, I'm wondering if there's a challenge that you would say was your biggest struggle, something that you came up against that you would identify as being the biggest challenge that you faced in trying to create that balance or that alignment between who you are personally and who you are professionally.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think there are a few things that came up for me. One is kind of the struggle for letting go so as to delegate to others. I think once you are working in a field for so long, you feel a certain responsibility for things and a certain control over your matters, and it's hard to kind of let go and delegate things. But I've learned over time that it's often the best way. You can't be effective if you're managing every tiny little piece of the puzzle, and you have to bring others into the matter and involve them and train them. So that's been a challenge. It's an ongoing one because it depends not only on your ability to let go, but also the people that you have working with you and what they're able to assume at a given time. Another challenge has been kind of self-imposed pressures. I think working in a law firm, you have a lot of external pressures. You have pressures from your clients, from your colleagues, from the other people with whom you work, and certain time pressures. You're supposed to bill a certain number of hours, for example, if you're in private practice. But beyond that, I found that I have a lot of self-imposed pressures, that even if I'm meeting clients' needs and keeping everyone I work with happy, that there's still this internal voice saying you're not doing enough, or, you know, should you really take off early today, or should you really do that thing that you wanted to do personally this weekend when you could be, you know, continuing to work on this matter. So I think you need to kind of let go a little bit of those internal pressures and, you know, give yourself the time that you need to achieve that balance so that you can be effective in all avenues of your life.
Do you think that as lawyers we're kind of hardwired to have that kind of internal pressure on ourselves?
I think so. I think so. And I question whether it's just some, you know, us who are that way are drawn to the profession, or whether it develops over time and it's very hard to let go. But it's something that I found was very hard to let go, that, you know, often I'm beating myself up when everyone around me, clients and colleagues, are happy, but I'm saying I didn't do enough. So that's, you know, something, again, that I think is a work in progress, and I'm constantly – at least I'm aware of it at this point, but I'm not, I couldn't claim to be, you know, that the voice is completely gone.
That awareness, they always say, is half the battle, just knowing, you know, I think it is, and it's always there, and it's wrapped up maybe, like you said, and that's an interesting point that you make, because I agree that I think people like that. I mean, we're a bit perfectionistic, we're driven, or, you know, compulsive sometimes about quality and making sure everything's done and done well and serving our clients and being really the top, and that's part of law school and the competitiveness that goes with all that as well. But as you suggested, and it's a very interesting point, that maybe the practice actually either begins that quality or that attribute or exacerbates it, just because we're in with other people as well. So I appreciate you drawing that line between the two, connecting those two. Is it could be that we're drawn to the profession because those are our qualities, but it could be that the profession actually either draws that out in us or makes it more intense than it otherwise would have been.
Right. It's interesting.
Yeah, and I don't know. I think there's probably lots of other things going on, especially for women, because we do tend to be such people pleasers too, that mm-hmm. I know we like to I do find a lot of women lawyers who we just have we're perfectionistic. We want everyone happy. We want to do 110% for everyone. And as you suggested, it's hard to give yourself a break sometimes.
Right, definitely.
Jackie, on the flip side of that then, to think a little more positively maybe about what have you learned? What is that greatest lesson? If the challenge is for you, if the big challenge has been the self-imposed pressures and to be able to lighten up on yourself a little bit, is that the lesson, or is there another lesson that you would identify as being the biggest lesson that you've learned in trying to create that balance, that juggling, whatever you want to call it, between your work and your life?
Yeah, I mean, one of the, I think, the more important things that I've learned and I try to keep in mind all the time is that, you know, focusing on balance, when I'm effectively being more balanced, it makes me better in all aspects of my life. So when I'm working, you know, those 70, 80 hours a week and I'm so absorbed in work, I can become, you know, stressed out, unhappy, I think eventually unhealthy. Whereas if I'm, you know, carving out time for exercise and for socialization and everything else, I think it makes me a better person in all aspects of my life. I mean, I've been, you know, a few years ago involved in you know, crazy deals, and I had to go deal with a family matter or go for a holiday, and I arrive, you know, late and stressed and talking about work, and it's not pleasant for the people I'm with. It's not pleasant for me. It's not, you know, the best way to be for anyone. So, you know, this recognition that it's important not only for me personally, but for the people around me and for my work and for the clients, you know, to be that kind of balanced person, that helps a lot, and it helps to get rid of some of that guilt and that self-imposed, you know, pressures and that internal voice questioning whether I'm actually doing enough or not.
It's so true. Like you said, we walk into our personal situations when we have so much on our mind, and it's hard to draw the line between the two. But to be able to try to focus on that balance, it does make you better. And do you have, I don't know, are there examples or just ways that you've seen how being balanced makes you more effective in your practice and with your clients?
For me, the key is like physical exercise and adventure sports and things of that nature. So if I have a really busy day and I'm like thinking about it and stressed about all that I need to get done, and it's like the last thing I should be doing, I tell myself, is taking that, you know, hour at lunch to go for a run. But at the same time, it's exactly what I need. So that's what I found. I take out that little break, go, and then I feel better physically, and then I come back recharged and able to tackle my work, probably in a much better way than I would have had I just plowed through.
It's so true and yet somewhat counterintuitive sometimes. I think we think of when we leave, when we shut down the computer and walk out of the office, we think, oh, I'm not working and I'm not doing anything that could possibly benefit my clients or my practice. And yet sometimes it is just either that physical exercise that rejuvenates us and recenters us and makes us more efficient, or maybe it's even just a walk, sort of a head-clearing walk or something that breaks up whatever pattern. Maybe that we just have hit sort of writer's block in something we're writing, or just trying to think through something and not coming to the answers that we need. Taking that break can really turn things around and make us so much more effective as attorneys.
Yeah, I think that's so true. I mean, whenever you come up against a wall and just let it go for a while, and you'll be amazed that, you know, going for that walk and something just pops into your head and it's like a eureka moment that
you run right back to the office.
Yeah.
But it's so amazing, and I'm glad you pointed it out, because I think we are reluctant to take that time for ourselves, or even just other kinds of self-care, be it even physical self-care in terms of getting haircuts or manicures or that sort of thing, you know, as women that we like to do, and we think of it as just splurging and, you know, silly time. But it's not, because A, it's sort of that mental break, and B, for women, and I think for men too, when we feel like we look our best and we feel our best, it also increases our confidence, which again is something that's so important to our profession and presenting ourselves to clients and opposing counsel and other people. So it is all wrapped up together.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Jackie, with that being said, and sort of thinking about the larger umbrella idea that you've mentioned of the balance and how important it is and how it really makes you a better attorney and more effective in every area, be it personally with your family, as you mentioned, or in your practice with your clients and in other ways. Are there specific tools or strategies that you have found, and you mentioned, say, exercise as one example. Are there others that you would think of that maybe are more practical or more tactical, something that somebody could start doing right away that might make them more efficient, make them feel more balanced? And it could either be something active like that, such as a real tool, or even just a way of thinking or a mantra or something to remember when the going gets tough. I'm just wondering if you had some specifics like that.
Yeah, sure. I think the first thing you need to do is really figure out what matters to you. Like I said, for me, it's sports and exercise. I don't have, you know, my own family yet, but for a lot of women, I'm sure that's key, and going home and spending time with their child can probably clear their head and make them feel better about their professional life as well as being good for the child, I imagine. You know, again, for me, it's sports, but for other people that might not work. It may be something more creative, painting, or I think you really need to sit down and figure out what's important to you, what will make you feel better, what have you been neglecting on, you know, in your personal life so as to pursue your career, and that if you can kind of bring back would make you happier. At the same time, I think you might want to think about, you know, what unnecessary things can you carve out of your life. You made a good point before about, you know, being people pleasers, and I think that's a trap that I fall into and a lot of other women do as well, where you're kind of saying yes to everything. And for a while, you know, I found I was saying yes to everything but being good at nothing, because I was so, you know, pulled in so many different directions. So in addition to, you know, taking that time to figure out what you really would like to do, take the time to figure out what, you know, what you are doing that you shouldn't be focusing your time on, that you can kind of carve out to free yourself up a little bit more. Then I think you should kind of really carve out time that's non-negotiable to pursue those interests. So like I said, you know, when I have, you know, my daily run or my daily Pilates class, I won't miss it, you know, unless something very, very drastic or an emergency comes up. I make that a non-negotiable thing that can't change, just as, you know, you would with your client commitments. And then I guess the final thing I would say is, and this is something I'm struggling with, this is why I kind of thought about it, is to use technology to your advantage, but don't be a slave to it. Mm-hmm. I know initially, you know, when we were given, you know, BlackBerry devices at work many years ago, I thought it was the greatest thing because now I could work from the beach, but then it became the most horrible thing because now I can work from the beach.
Right.
So, you know, I think technology can definitely help make you more efficient, but it also has created this thing where we're expected to be available all the time. And I think you need to really carve out and set parameters around your personal time, and don't pick up the email, and let it be known as well that, you know, on Sunday morning or Saturday afternoon or weeknights after 8, you're not going to be reachable. It's not, unless there's some, you know, again, it's a crisis or emergency that absolutely needs your attention, you have that personal time that needs to be carved out for you.
That's so true and so important, and I really love how you put it, to make the distinction between not just adding things to your life, which sounds great, and I completely agree, you know, finding whatever adds to your life, what jazzes you, what makes you that more efficient. Like you said, it's exercise, and kudos to you. That's something I struggle with. And so I always think about it, and I'm guilty of letting it slip off and not being as clear as I could be with those non-negotiable boundaries around my time. But it's very important, and I know that when I exercise, I feel so good. But it's a challenge to get it in. So I think adding those things in that you know benefit you and being really strong with your boundaries around the time that you set aside for them, as well as, like you said, maybe hobbies, and, you know, be that art, as you mentioned, or who knows, knitting. I have a friend who's an attorney who, she knits, and I've seen pictures, I know you're on Facebook as well, she posted pictures on Facebook of these sweaters that she knit, and they are stunning, and I just, you forget that people, that attorneys are actually, can be creative.
Right, right.
I'm like, you knit? Like, it was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen, and she made it, and it's such a great stress relief for her, and, you know, she feels like she's making things for her kids or her family, and it's a great hobby, and I think we forget to nurture those, not only hobbies to help, you know, our mind unwind, but also the creative parts of ourselves, because so many of us get caught up in the analytical part of who we are as attorneys that we forget that maybe we love to paint or draw or knit, or like, I'm a musician, and to really feed that part of ourselves that might go unfed in the rest of our day. And for you, you know, the athletic piece, it sounds like you are definitely committed to your physical fitness and health, and that that's an important part of who you are. And, I mean, and I think it's just great that you obviously have such a strong commitment to that and nurture that part of who you are as well. But at the same time, I love what you said about carving out what doesn't serve you. And I think sometimes we think, oh, well, okay, I'll add this in or this hobby or this exercise or whatever it is, but we forget to go in a little bit with a razor or a knife and carve out those things that do not add to our lives, that actually detract. And sometimes it's hard because, as you said, we're people pleasers. We love to be all things to all people. So maybe there's volunteer commitments or things that are important and we feel bad not doing them, but they're really taking away from our quality of life, maybe because of a time commitment or things like that. So this is one that I have a really hard time saying no to anything charitable. And yet sometimes I just finally have to, because I can't do it all. I can't, that would mean I would miss the exercise, or I would miss time with my kids or things like that. So I love how you put two sides of the same coin, add what adds to your life and carve out what is not adding to your life.
Yeah, I really think it's important. You have to do that initial inventory and just really figure out, you know, what are your values. And, you know, maybe charity is a great value for you, and I think it should be, but, you know, maybe you can figure out how to do it in a way that's maybe less time-consuming, or that you're more productive in less amount of time, or something of that nature.
Exactly. And sometimes I encourage people to double up. Like, my charity work right now is being my daughter's Girl Scout leader. You know, so I'm able to fulfill my priority of spending time with my daughter and feel like I'm doing something in the community at the same time.
That's great.
So, you know, I think we have to get creative sometimes with our very limited 24 hours in the day. So, you know, you do what you can, and like you said very much at the outset, just forgive yourself for the rest and say, maybe not now, maybe in 10 years or 20 years I can serve on that board or I can do this thing. But right now it just doesn't work. And other people accept that, but we're so hard, we don't want to say it. But other people are like, of course, I understand, but we still don't want to say the words.
Right. That's so true. So true.
Jackie, is there anything else that you would want to add before we wrap up our time together? Anything, you know, as you think about the women you see in your practice, or, you know, other attorneys that you encounter, any words of wisdom that you would want to share with them, or things that you've gleaned along the way that you think, gosh, you know, this made a big difference for me. I wish I could tell women attorneys this.
Yeah, I mean, I think I especially feel for kind of younger attorneys. I mean, the economy is so tough. It's so tough to get a job, and it's so tough, you know, once you get into keep the job, and you have all these expectations. But I think, you know, my word of advice is to, you know, give yourself a break and try to achieve that balance. You will be under pressure. There's no doubt about it, to bill and to be as productive as possible. But, you know, keep a little voice in the back of your head, you know, active, encouraging you to do those things that you love, so that, you know, you don't become so overwhelmed, because eventually you will burn out, and, you know, you won't be, you really won't be happy, I think, in your professional life if you can't maintain some time for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Thank you for those words, because it's just a gentle but firm reminder that it's gonna be stressful. We picked a stressful career and profession because we love it. I mean, but we chose it, and so how do we best make that work within what we really want to create for our lives and our lifestyles and what goes on in the rest of our lives? So, thank you for those words, Jackie. As we wrap up, I'm wondering if you could share your website, different ways that folks could connect with you. Like I mentioned, I know you're on Facebook. Could you share that with folks who are listening or reading the words so they know how to follow up with you or learn more about what you do?
Sure. Thanks, Kendra. I have a website. It's just my full name, so www.jacquelineklosek, com, and there's information about my books, and I try to blog about, you know, current pressing issues on privacy and data security. And then you can email me through that website as well.
Perfect. That is great. And also, do you mind if folks could connect with you on Facebook? Would that be all right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Great. And it's the same name. They can
same
find
name.
You on there. It's so
yeah.
easy to find people on Facebook. I love it. Oh, wonderful. Well, Jackie, it's been delightful getting to know you and hear your story and the words of advice and counsel that you would give to others on their journey of trying to find what works for them and create that balance in their life. So thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you very much.
You are welcome. Well, with that, we'll wrap up our conversation with Jackie. I thank her for being here, and I also thank folks who are here on the line listening or reading these words in any format. I hope you found something in what Jackie shared today that was meaningful, that you can take away and implement into your life that makes a difference for you and your law practice. So until next time, this is Kendra Brodeen of WomenLawyersOnline.com wishing you real success always and in all ways. Thanks again for being here. Bye-bye.